Cosmic Dispatch. I'm your host, Corey Nakasue, and happy Pisces season. We're a few days late. We're recording this episode of the Cosmic Dispatch on February 21st at 1:39 p.m. We're a little late, but we're really going to make up for it because we are going to do a super deep dive into Pisces season, which includes this, like, I don't know how else to really characterize this full moon that's coming up on Saturday, February 24th. We will try, but like, it just looks like a super bummer to me. And then it's followed by a triple conjunction in Pisces. Triple conjunction or a double Kazemi, however you want to look at that. And that's big. And then we have all kinds of Aquarius Taurus stuff going on for the entire Pisces season. And like, yeah, this Pisces season is super complex. And I wanted to do like a really deep dive because of its complexity. And so I invited my Virgo Pisces friends to talk to me today. I have Jillian Sweeney and Mandy Sheeler. If you watch this program or listen to this program regularly, you might already be familiar with Jillian and Mandy. And if not, I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves right now. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Jillian. Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Jillian Sweeney, and I'm primarily a choreographer and writer and performer. And I have been studying astrology for about 8 years now, and a lover of the I Ching. So divination has a special place in my heart. I'll probably be adding in some I Ching things throughout this talk. And yeah, that's about it.
I like it. Short and sweet, Jillian. I'll keep it the same. I'm Mandy. I am also a student of astrology, practicing astrologer. I'm also a parent. I homeschool my kids, so that takes up a huge chunk of my time and brain. Yeah, what else do you want to know? Does that cover it for what we're doing today?
I think that covers it for what we're doing today.
Right?
And if anyone is curious to learn more about any of us, our websites and links to other things we do will be in the show notes. So feel free to check that out. Also, just some podcast, YouTube, housekeeping. Like it, follow it. If this content is interesting to you, go ahead, like it, follow it. You can also follow us on Instagram at the Cosmic Dispatch. Even though, you know, that's really just kind of an extension of the podcast. We don't have a lot of extra content at the moment, but it's a way to just keep abreast of when we do have new content, when we do have a new episode, as I'm still trying to figure out a schedule and different things to talk about. And so you're also welcome. If you have any ideas about things you'd like to hear, give us a shout either in the comments or email us at thecosmicdispatch@gmail.com. I'm thinking about maybe doing horoscopes or doing some evergreen content, just like general astrology information, educational stuff. So let us know. We're still playing around with how we do this. And I think that's all. If I remember something else, I'll bring it in then. But let's start off with this full moon that's happening on February 24th. I think for a lot of our Pisces and Virgo friends out there, I really think this Pisces season is challenging in a very unique way, that in a way that Pisces isn't always challenged by. And what I find personally and in my experience with talking with other people so challenging about the Pisces season that we're in and the next few weeks of it is it's very Saturnian. We're starting to really feel, after about a year of Saturn being in Pisces, like what that's all about, because it's going to be there for like another year, year and a half. And also having Saturn in the same sign as Neptune. Neptune has been in Pisces since 2011, and it's on its last legs of being in Pisces. Neptune moves into Aries in 2025. So we're coming to the end of Neptune's process in Pisces, and we're just getting the hang of Saturn being there. But that has introduced this co-presence of basically Saturn and Neptune being roommates in Pisces, and we're starting to get a feel for what that's all about. And I asked both of you to join me with this because, you know, I know you both personally, and I know both of your astrology pretty well. And like Jillian, you have been directly, like Saturn has come to visit your sun in Pisces. And Mandy, Neptune has been visiting your moon in Pisces for like at least a year now, if maybe not more. And so I'm thinking that the experiences that you've been having with Saturn and Neptune in Pisces might be really helpful for our friends who maybe have like a stellium in Virgo or Pisces, or have Virgo Pisces on an angle. So that's what I kind of want to explore, like by talking about the personal effects of something. I feel like sometimes the more personal you get, the more universal like those applications are to other people, because, you know, we're not living an isolated existence. We're all human beings. And to hear a personal experience might really shed some light on like the bigger scope of these influences. So that was my little reasoning, my little scheming for bringing you here. So let's jump in with this full moon in Virgo on the 24th. And some things that you might be thinking about on this full moon coming up. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Who's Mandy. That?
Yeah.
Yep. And it looks like that. So this full moon is sitting with Saturn and Mercury. Any thoughts looking
Jillian,
at that?
What do you think? Do you want to go first again?
Sure. Manny and I realized that we're both also Virgo risings together. So, you know, this full moon is reflecting back all of this Pisces energy that is nonverbal, is very visual, that is very feeling based, and it's kind of uncomfortable for the moon to be shining light on this in Virgo. I keep thinking about how it's going to be one of those full moons where we need to feel it and not try to craft it, devise it. There's going to be a sense of doubt around those feelings, but to feel the feelings is the feeling. And of course, the moon being as, you know, I don't know, in this kind of weather, I sense that there might be a lot of wanting to go towards a little bit of pushing away feelings. If you're especially like us, Virgo risings, and I'm also a Gemini moon, so I like to talk rather than feel. So this feels like a very watery, watery, watery full moon. I don't know how you feel about it, Mandy.
Yeah, it is watery, but again, very Saturnian. And like those two things seem like not the same, right? Like just in that in itself, there's
oh,
this.
We lost your audio, Mandy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Interesting. I don't know what you call it. So yes, this is a very watery thing, but it's also very, like you said, Corey, Saturnian. And those two things are both so, they're just opposites, which I think ties into this whole paradoxical thing that we're doing in this Pisces. It is feeling through that and the reality of kind of our feelings. I'm trying to think of a way to make it sound less serious or less heavy, but it's not. Like it is. It just is very, it's heavy. Corey, I see you. What were you?
No, you're, yeah, it's, that's why, you know, I opened with, this is a bummer, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, the last thing, the moon, right? And it's in its ideal expression. It wants to feel, it wants to move through, it wants to connect. And it's like Saturn, which is like the planet of no, essentially, and being very broad, is like, no, don't do that. Let's think about this. I'm not sure if your feelings are even real. What value do we place on feelings? Are they facts? Are they imaginary? I think at this full moon, we are going to be, it's kind of like a bit of a rude awakening type of a thing because of Saturn and because of the moon's position in Virgo. There's this sense of like, I maybe even don't care about your feelings. I really want to present something factual. And then that, you know, putting us in a situation of what do I do with my feelings, or feeling that there is even anything to do, when I think we would all agree that there is nothing to do with feelings except feel them. I think like that was something, you know, Jillian was saying. But there will be some pressure and the feeling that we are supposed to somehow get something under control, or we got to manage this, or this is very overwhelming, so we have to stop it and like go up into our mind to figure out a way to resolve like this like very big discomfort. And it is heavy. There's just no getting around it. So with so much Pisces there, if we're looking, we have like four planets in Pisces, and then we have this triple conjunction of Mercury, the Sun, and Saturn looming that's going to come together the next 4 days after this full moon. It really looks like we're presented with, I don't know, something that stops feeling. And it might be a way to escape this. This is a kind of sorrowful time. And we'll get more into this when we talk about this triple conjunction that Mandy just put up for that takes place on the 28th. And I don't see the full moon and this triple conjunction as like two separate events. They're
Okay.
really like they're one, basically like 1 week of heavy feelings that I think we might be very tempted to try to escape. And so I want to talk more about this triple conjunction, actually, because I think the full moon is illuminating or opening up. It's like the entryway to this is the big news, actually, of Pisces season. This is actually a very, I haven't seen this very often. Before we get into this triple conjunction and what it is and what it might symbolize, do either of you have any like opening thoughts on this February 28th, Mercury Kazemi? It's also Saturn Kazemi. This thing here.
I'm glad you merged them together, Corey, because even like you sent a list of the things that you wanted to kind of talk about for this episode. And it was really hard for me in my brain to separate those two things because I do think, like you said, this is a week-long thing. And one of like the big theme that I thought about for this is I feel like, and this is a personal thing. This has been my personal experience, and we can kind of get into the minutiae or the details of that as we get into this, but it's illuminating where we've been deluded and where we've not necessarily been thinking clearly. And that sucks. Like that doesn't feel good. And the awareness of that, I think in a Pisces vibe or in like a
You're
Pisces
out again,
world,
Mandy.
oh
Okay, you're
this is
back.
okay. I don't know what to do about that or why that is.
Just so I actually am not getting cut out, so I'm hearing everything.
Oh,
Weird.
okay. Maybe it's just me.
I hope the recording, the recording should be okay, hopefully. Yeah.
Usually is, yeah.
Okay. Just that I think we're being exposed for where we've been deluded. And I think sitting with that doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel good. But I think the Pisces, kind of what you were speaking to, I think, Corey, was that Pisces tendency to kind of get stuck in that and that like lost in the sauce of the feelings instead of just allowing it to happen. And Jillian, like you said, to just move through it. I think Pisces is like sticky and gooey, and there's this tendency to like get trapped in that. And I think like you can't, it's a Pisces thing, you know? Pisces feels it all and sees it all, and it's that gushy thing that it happens, but in doing that, it can almost like center itself in a time when it may not necessarily be appropriate to like center the self or those feelings or what. It's a bigger than that thing, but I think I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, and that's, I think we're this is like the Neptune late stage Pisces thing, where that's like what happens, and then you become, then the Aries thing comes into play. But I'm getting way ahead there. So I'll pump the brakes and bring it back.
All right, Jillian, were you going to say
Yeah.
something?
Yeah. I mean, to get completely personal, One of the things that's been coming up for me is that in therapy, it's been a lot about how to articulate feelings and the inability to do that sometimes, and to use not language, but sounds, or just letting a feeling happen before words can emerge. So this Mercury, Saturn, Sun conjunction creates a sort of pressure or a weight on the ability to be able to talk or to even express what the feeling is, or what the delusion is, or what the sort of image of something moving and we can't catch it in a net, you know, it's flowing with the water. So I wanted to read something if I could, because it really speaks to this. It is Alan Watts, this book called The Watercourse Way. And he calls the Tao the watercourse way, that it's not necessarily about the path itself or the way itself, but the motion of the way. So I just wanted to read a short passage from him. Thus, the Tao is the course, the flow, the drift, or the process of nature. And I call it the watercourse way because both Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu use the flow of water as its principal metaphor. But it is of the essence of their philosophy that the Tao cannot be defined in words. It is not an idea or concept. As Chuang Tzu says, it may be attained but not seen, or in other words, felt but not conceived, intuited but not categorized, divined but not explained. In a similar way, air and water cannot be cut or clutched, and their flow ceases when they are enclosed. There is no way of putting a stream in a bucket or the wind in a bag. I think the trappings of Saturn makes Pisces really difficult, and that's a lot of the ways we can create more suffering is by feeling like we have to put our feelings in a container and say this is what it is, right? And with Mercury being also in its fall in Pisces, and I think moving at quite a quick pace because it's about to cross the sun. I think I'm right about that, before it goes retrograde. There is going to be this real need to speed up what we're feeling. But Saturn kind of puts the kibosh on that and says, actually, it's the motion of the feelings that we're talking about. It's not what the feeling is, you know, which is difficult, a difficult thing in our culture, I feel like.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought in Alan Watts. I think Alan Watts is a good read for this particular time when there is so much disillusionment and illusionment and uncertainty and like what to do with that. Because when we have, and I know a lot of Pisces people, I have a lot of Pisces friends, and something I've noticed over many years is that when Pisces gets overwhelmed, it can be to such a degree that it causes a tremendous amount of anxiety. And the tempting thing to do when we feel overwhelmed or lost to that degree is to reach out for something, anything that looks solid, like anything, without much discernment, because the discomfort and anxiety of feeling that, you know, you don't have control is too much. And so that's when, like, let's say you have Saturn, or you have Virgo or something earthy going on in your chart, or in during transits, that if the overwhelm and the anxiety is great enough, you're just going to grab onto the first thing that looks stable. And I see that kind of situation here because I'm going to get a little astrological here and talk about like the actual Kazemi. Before we get to this point on February 28th, so today's the 21st. So this right here is coming up in a week. We have basically a dying Mercury and a dying Saturn. And they are not at full power. And I tend to stay away from like, oh, a planet is weak during this point or, debilitated or whatever. I try to stay away from that language. But by the time Mercury gets into Pisces, which I think is going to be in a few days, it's almost like it's in its balsamic phase before it makes that conjunction with the sun to be reborn. It's going to be, reborn as an evening star. We'll be able to see Mercury in the night sky as we head into March. But right now, even as we're speaking, Mercury, I feel like I can like I get this image of Mercury like limping along to, towards the finish line to get to that Kazemi, the heart of the sun, on the 28th. It's, we can't see Mercury right now. It's being, kind of burned up by the sun, and it's heading into the sign of its fall, a place where, Mercury sometimes struggles. And so with that, I can kind of, and I personally am getting this feeling, especially around Mercury types of things, where I'm tired. I'm over it. There's this sense of, oh, I'm over that. And I can feel like the cynicism. I feel sardonic. I can feel like this like crotchetiness of like a Saturn that's on its last legs too. Same thing when the Sun and Saturn conjoin after that Mercury Kazemi, Saturn is in an old dying place too, and also is not quite in its element in Pisces. And so they, I see them as like really struggling, being very tired, being very over it. And when we find ourselves saying things like, oh, I'm so over that, I'm over it, it's because something is probably over and something is coming to an end and we just can't do it anymore. I had some thoughts in the shower actually about this, where I get a lot of thoughts when I was like washing my hair. I was thinking about this, like, I'm over this. I'm so over it. And then I started thinking about Aubrey Plaza, if you're familiar with that actress who used to be on, what was it? I think, was it
Parks and
Parks and
Rec.
Rec?
Yeah, Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. And she also, did one of the episodes of White Lotus. And if you're familiar with this actress, she's kind of famous for just being fucking over it. And like, ugh, like the skepticism, the cynicism, and the sardonic, like there is nothing new under the sun. Like, why hope? There's like a kind of like a hopelessness that, this kind of symbolizes to me. And so, yeah, that's something I've been feeling. But also, if we're thinking about, what happens on top of all of that during a balsamic moon phase, which we could say, Mercury is kind of in this balsamic moon phase, so is Saturn, where it's the end. And then this is happening in Pisces. That's the last sign of the zodiac. They've been through all the signs already. I'm over it. It's over, and I'm ready for the new thing. I want to be reborn. It's time for something new. So those are some of my thoughts on this this triple conjunction. And you might be saying, okay, great, Corey, this still sucks. Like what? I think it's a time for a lot of lessons around like letting go, that it's okay, that there are some things that are bigger than us, that we're not meant to control everything, that it's actually probably good that we don't control everything, because that whole control thing usually comes from a very egoic place of having things the way we think we want them. And all of this action in Pisces, in one school of astrology, Pisces is the sign where we lose that egoic, like, this is how I want things, this is who I am, and therefore based on what who I am and what I think I want, if I'm not getting it, that sucks. And to like open us up to like that, the ego, even though it's useful and necessary, is not something that needs to be calling the shots 24/7. That's like actually not good for us, I think, as individuals and even as a collective. I'm gonna stop there on my, this is a bummer thing. Any other thoughts about this triple conjunction?
I've had Saturn opposing my ascendant. And, at this point, it's past, but now it's coming up on moon and other things. But I've just been searching for the wisdom in the suck because I think that's another Saturnian thing that we're not kind of, yeah, it sucks. But beneath that suck and beyond that suck is like this wisdom that's a gift for the rest of your life. And Saturnian gifts, you gotta earn them and you've gotta limp across the finish line, I think, to even have a chance to like get them. But once you seal it, it's like, whew, all right. And you're able to then, right, like reflect back and like, look at the mountain top, the goat on the top of the mountain looking down, look how far you've come type thing. But it's, yeah, I think finding the wisdom in the suck, having gone through very personal experiences with this lately, there's wisdom in the suck. That doesn't make it suck any less, but there's wisdom there. And I think eventually we'll be able to turn that into something else.
I might title this show depending on what else comes up, but so far the front runner is the wisdom in the suck, and I think that actually characterizes the next week pretty well. And it makes me think again about this whole disillusionment. And I was scrolling through something, and I think it was, I heard Gabor Mate talking about this time of disillusionment. And he was like, yeah, so yeah, this is hard. We're learning things. We're learning that, things weren't the way we thought, or we've become disillusioned. It's like, well, what are you complaining about? Would you rather be illusioned? Like with along with the disillusionment, there comes, you have some like facility, some agency. It's like, okay, well, all right, now I have some clarity. I maybe I don't like this or it's uncomfortable, but I can maybe start to move from this point. Whereas if, like a shadow of Pisces, if I would have stayed in the illusion, I still might, I might be, staying in this place of like constant, what's the word I'm looking for? Like entropy, like just getting a little weaker, a little less connected because I'm like swimming away from certain wisdoms that may suck, so certain realities where, I'm going to stop there. But yeah, it just made me think about disillusionment and when you become disillusioned, that can be a good thing, even though it doesn't like feel great in the moment. Yeah, any thoughts, Jillian?
Yeah, how to get over the bummer is what I keep thinking about. It's like, not that we have to get over the bummer, but how to think differently about the bummer might be a trick of this transit. And I just think that with Saturn, there's mastery of slow steps, slowing the dance down, and not necessarily always about our impatience with ourselves or our feelings, but that we can't, like Jupiter, like this is the opposite of Jupiter energy. We can't make leaps of faith right now past these big thresholds. It's just we're plodding along. There's a little bit of magic in there too, because I do think that Saturn in Pisces has some mastery of poetics going on. So if you are studying your dreams, if you are interested in writing, there is a way to slow down and kind of pay attention and listen to the magic that might be coming through. And it might not be enough, but just enough to get you through, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Jillian. And if a lot of great art comes from this whole like Saturn, Neptune, Saturn, Pisces, like archetypal combo. It's being able to channel and direct. So you were talking about motion. Right, Jillian, it's sometimes we think Saturn just means like blockages and stoppages, but also there are ways to channel and direct this like really beautiful flowing feeling, imagistic, magical energy, and do things to it that give it some kind of life on the ground in our bodies. But because it's Saturn, it does need to alter that Piscean content to some degree so that we can have it like drop into some kind of more physical form. But that's also, I think, where a lot of the Pisces like disappointment or longing or heartache comes from is when we do the Saturnian things to it, we have to let go of some Piscean properties, so that it may exist in this other form. And that can be really hard. We're not going to get be able to experience on Earth in our bodies like this, the pure magic and etherealness and all of the things that don't follow the dictates of time. Like it we have to find there's an alchemy in that process, which I like that you're bringing that up with Saturn, because Saturn can actually be thought of as a hugely like alchemical symbol or force that manifests like real live things that we can experience. So thank you. That was great. And I want to talk some more about this from a personal As personal, only as personal as you want to get. And since we just started, kind of talking about Saturn, Jillian, what was your experience of having Saturn right on your Pisces sun?
You know, the whole passage so far of Saturn into Pisces has been heartbreak. It's definitely been what I've been experiencing and living with bittersweetness and healing and all of those things. And as it approached this past weekend, it was this weekend that it went over directly over my son. There was a feeling of complete and utter weight, like a weighted blanket over me. And I, energetically, I felt like I didn't have words for things. I'm still having a little trouble finding words, which is why I brought in language of somebody else. It's like listening has become more powerful for me, where I'm usually I can be quite a chatterbox. And the inability to hide my tiredness, like usually I'll try to, I don't know, in a like around my friends, I'll just try to like be chipper. And I found like I couldn't do that with this transit. It was kind of the truth of the energy was just there. And all I could do is be with it and allow other people to see it as well, because it's in my seventh house. So it's very personal for me. Like it's very relationship based, like a lot of grief around what you were saying earlier about this isn't working anymore. Like some of my relational patterns that I've had in the past, which is for me to feel like I want to belong to somebody, is totally broken. Like it's completely broken. It doesn't work for me anymore. And I'm finding I need to belong to myself, which is for a person with sun in the seventh house. It's I think that's a Saturn thing I'm learning. That's the have to, you've reached the end of the line. It's definitely the ending beginning threshold that I'm in, but I'm not over the line yet. I'm not in the space of like, whew, now in the beginning space. I'm definitely in the, yeah, when is this going to be over? And a lot of crying, a lot of crying.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Jillian. I honestly think a lot of people who have Pisces placements are feeling some version of that. But Saturn isn't the only, big thing going on in Pisces. Neptune is we also have to like take into account Neptune's presence there. And like we may have forgotten about it because it's been there since 2011, but it's starting to reach the anaretic degrees, which is the last gasp of Neptune in Pisces. And Mandy, Neptune has been sitting on your moon for a while. And so, if you would maybe share something about that for our friends who have things going on in those late degrees of Pisces, about like the moon experience of Pisces and what Neptune is has been feeling like there.
Yeah, a lot of it is very similar to your experience, Jillian. I think for me, I've been, there was this transit pre-Saturn, and then there's this transit now that Saturn is also co-present in Pisces. And I think before Saturn entered the picture, it was very just overwhelming. And I felt big waves of emotion. And Jillian, you were like, I just had to go through it, or I'm not able to hide it. It was that, like, I can't hide this swell of emotion that I'm having. I have to. And back to this comment about the alchemy thing, and I don't want to get ahead of us, but I also have a lot of Taurus stuff going on. So I think Taurus and Pisces have they have that sextile relationship, and I think that that's been really helpful for me to move through some of this because it is it's a lot, and it's really it's a very like overstimulating sensory experience. And so when I'm feeling that, it's nice to like align that with my body and be able to I feel like I'm able to move through it better in that way. I think Saturn's a bummer, and I don't want to detract from that because we've been talking a lot about that, but I'm kind of a daddy's girl right now. Like, I'm feeling Saturn, and Saturn is helping me pull in some of these entanglements that I've had through this Neptunian thing. I feel like, and I think I talked with you about this, Jillian, but I think you mentioned it a little earlier, Corey, about this, like, giving so much of yourself away that you eventually just erode and dissolve yourself. I feel like I was in that. And I think I told you, Jillian, I feel like a jellyfish that has just had little tentacles spread out all over the place. And so Saturn has come in for me, and it's offered this, like, okay, I have to pull some of this in. I have to be in my body. I have to show some of this. I can't hide from the reality of these entanglements that I've had and how these have made me feel, and where it's maybe not gone well. I think it's overwhelming, and it's, I think the I've learned to surrender, which isn't something that comes naturally to me based on other things in my chart, but surrendering has just been, you just got to ride the waves as they come and not try to push back, which isn't easy. Jillian, we talked, I think, on Instagram about, in our private chat, about that feeling of, like, I feel like I could just drift off of the earth at any time. That's been a big thing. And I think, again, pre-Saturn, I felt like I had a toe on the ground most of the time, and it was just very lightly. And then now that Saturn's there, I feel a little more. It's a lot. It's been really, it's a lot. I spend a lot of time in my bathtub. I cry a lot. It's been hard. I don't want to take away from that, but I think, yeah, again, it's been such a personal and deeply felt thing for me. I'm at the end of it as well, nearing the end of these things. And it's, yeah, like, not only, I'm not trying to rush the end though. I think that's where I'm trying to just, like, who am I to rush that, right? And to be in that balsamic phase, and to be in that, like, weird liminal space. Because it will come to an end. And so, yeah. What can I do? Surrender. I think that's been the biggest lesson.
Wow. Yeah. So
Was
big
that
stuff.
coherent?
it's so interesting. I think, I don't know if this was during the recording or just before the recording. I could have sworn that someone brought up talking underwater.
Yeah.
Like,
Feeling like your head is
yeah. Oh, it's because, yeah, we're
the
talking about the
headphones.
headphones. And, you know, with the presence of Mercury there, I can almost, as if I'm watching a movie. We've all seen, like, some scene in a film where someone is underwater and they're like screaming or they're trying to talk, and you can kind of hear the sounds, but you can't distinguish, you can't discern, like, what exactly are they saying. You kind of have to infer things based on tone and feeling and volume and maybe even project a little bit onto whatever input is coming towards you, and use completely different parts of your body, your mind to try to make meaning, which isn't a wrong thing to do. It's just, it tends not to be the thing people are most accustomed to doing. Get very frustrated if they can't hear or understand exactly, you know, what is coming out. And then a lot of times when we are confused and we can't understand in that, like, super logical way, we will project. I think that's some of that Neptune in Pisces influence. And I think, you know, we can see that going on in the world, in the collective. It's like, I'm not sure what's going on. I can dig for information all I want, but I can't seem to land on anything. And then we start doing this process of filling in the gaps with our own projection of, you know, whatever we know, whatever we've heard or experienced, and try to make some kind of meaning. There's that talking underwater thing. Another thing that was coming through, listening to both of you and knowing some things in your charts, is we have like a sun, we have a sun in Pisces situation, we have a moon in Pisces situation, and you know, the sun and the moon, our luminaries, are also, you know, indicative of like mommy daddy types of things. Mommy being the moon, daddy being the sun. And with Saturn newly, not so newly, but it's been in Pisces now for about a year, self-parenting has been coming up for me a lot with Pisces stuff. And the I like 60% of the people who I'm consulting and reaching out to me like are Pisces. It's crazy. It's bizarre, but I've been talking a lot about these things. And sort of similar to, you know, Jillian, something you said, and Mandy, some other things that we've had off the air conversations about, there's this sense of I need to reparent. I need to self-parent. I can no longer attribute what's going on with me and my own personal patterns to my childhood conditioning, even though that, you know, all of our childhood conditioning greatly contributes to the patterns we develop and the ways we are. But no matter, you know, how hurtful or, you know, whatever the situation was with our early childhood family situation, even if like an abuse situation like that, that is definitely, no one is responsible for that except the perpetrator of the abuse. But as we grow up, that the perpetrator isn't the one who can fix anything, even if they wanted to, even if you mend these relationships, whatever wounds that are there, we end up being responsible for once we are adults and once we are aware enough to understand what's going on. Like, I don't think anyone from the outside ever can heal us, even if we're able to repair relationships. And so Saturn, especially for people with the sun or the moon in Pisces, there's like, I just keep this self-parenting thing keeps coming up. And especially people who have the moon in Pisces, Saturn is there now. I'm thinking of, oh, I lost it, but it had something to do. It had something to do with this idea of, becoming a little more emotionally self-sufficient. And I don't mean to turn that into a, like any kind of like bootstrapping, you know, we're all just purely 100% responsible for our own experience. But it's a time, and it's a limited amount of time. It's not forever, where we have some lessons to learn and some work to do around like relearning how to take care of our own nurturing and it's the moon, it's feeding ourselves. And then when those lessons are learned, you know, you might feel like emotionally a little more like connecting again, feeling a little more open, but then you're doing so from a place of being able to choose what you connect with and understanding what your needs actually are and deciding on, I don't know, just finding more appropriate ways to get needs met in relationships or by yourself. So I see some of that going on. Any comments about any of that kind of stuff before we move on?
Go ahead, Jillian.
We both leaned
I
in.
know we're both ready.
And speaking to all that reparenting and emotional self-sufficiency, I think one of the things that's coming up for me personally a lot is, especially being Virgo rising and Pisces seventh house, is the idea of how can I become me in front of you? And it's a paradox because you have to find your self-tethering device, whatever that is for you, and be able to express it in the face of somebody. Not that you have to, but I have felt the Saturn, that's kind of the lesson that Saturn's teaching me right now is, can you anchor to your own sense of becoming as you do it in front of somebody? It's very paradoxical, and it's like holding space for both, which also feels very Saturnine too.
It's, I've been thinking a lot of this idea of kind of experiencing another adolescence season in life. For me, it's, I feel like Pisces has a, there's a, it, I've been naive when it comes to my relationships with people, and I've been pretty, I've given the benefit of the doubt to a lot of people just for different reasons. And I feel like Saturn is kind of coming in and showing me, like, yo, not so much here, maybe a little more over here. And there's this like awkward learning time that I just feel like I'm kind of like bobbling around in. And I think for me, yeah, it there's this maturing that's going on, and Saturn is coming in and highlighting or giving me lessons on where I've maybe given more than I should have, or yeah. And it's, again, that doesn't feel good, right? Like, none of this stuff feels good. There's a reason why I haven't like been online and like been active, right? Like, I've jokingly, this is my womb room, my office. I've turned it into my womb room, and I just come in here and I feel stuff and I do stuff with my body and whatever. But yeah, it's,
It's everything you're saying about the awkward movement. Just, yeah, snaps
ugh.
fingers, 100%. It's like, and then having to. And then the lesson of having to lay bare and not hide is, whew, because it is, Pisces is like also Venus's exaltation, so it's about sharing, and that the two tails of the fish are connected, so you can't get away from people, but you have to get space for yourself. It's just, and then
Yeah.
finding the right people to connect with that are willing to share this with you is like, that's where I'm being directed for sure.
Totally. Totally. It's those entanglements, like pull them all back. And then, like you were saying, Corey, like eventually there will come a time when, you know, you can put your little feelers in your tentacles and enmesh again. But right now, I, one of the things that when I first saw, when we were having, you know, what's your Neptune moon? The, when I first started thinking about this, I feel so permeable right now, and I feel really inclined to like protect myself in a way that I maybe always haven't in the past. And I feel like that, knowing my chart and knowing my like lifetime Saturn thing, it's all related. But I feel like I need to, yeah, cut some cords here and there, or cut just kind of close myself off a little bit. And I think as Pisces people, that's probably a good thing to do and check in on regularly. Otherwise, you might get pulled apart. I mean, it's the undoing, right? You allow yourself to become undone, and then that's a whole other thing.
And then you can, after you become undone, you can then do yourself.
Well, right, like again, like Aries, right? Like you've got to, you master Pisces.
Well, so I want to give a little timeline because, we're talking about also backing up to that triple conjunction of February 28th and this like kind of balsamic dying, limping along until you hit the new thing. A little timeline of what's going on with Saturn and Neptune over the next few years. So for Since Saturn entered Pisces in March of last year, 2023, Saturn and Neptune are both going to be in Pisces until March 2025. And so Neptune is doing also this it's in a like dying phase. It's limping along. And then Saturn and Neptune are going to be co-present in Aries in from March 2025 to May 2025. So they're going to still be having some interaction, but in a very different element. And then what else here? Saturn and Neptune will be co-present in Pisces again just for a little bit in October 2025 to January 2026. Neptune enters Aries in January of 2026, and Saturn enters Aries in February of 2026. And then this is the thing, this is the moment we've all been waiting for here. February 20th. So like just about exactly 2 years from today. Saturn and Neptune will conjoin at 0 degrees Aries. And that's new. That's like as new as it gets. It's on the world axis, 0 degrees Aries. So right now, this, through retrogrades and kind of moving back and forth, and they're going to cross over into Aries and come back into Pisces. When they make that conjunction, 2 years, about 2 years from today, that's a major, major whole new chapter for Saturn and Neptune individually and together. So these next 2 years, a lot of this purging, cleaning up, trying to, feel as much of it as we have capacity for. Understanding it, having compassion for, any hurts or wounds that get brought up, surrendering the old. So, for those of you who like to think big picture with this Saturn Neptune Pisces stuff, even though we're having a very marked week or two actually of, this like full moon coming up. And then the triple conjunction, the whatever you experience over the next week or two might give you some insights into the larger 2 year process before we're really doing something brand new with Saturn and Neptune once they go into Aries. And just some thoughts on Saturn Neptune. So I'm here and I don't have any Pisces placements. I don't have any Virgo placements. But what I do have is a pretty tight Saturn Neptune opposition. And at this recording, at this very moment with the sun in Pisces, I got a little T square going on. It's kind of pinging my Saturn Neptune opposition. And so I was thinking about Saturn and Neptune since we're in that vein. Some things I think about are the shore with Saturn and Neptune, where, the oceanic Pisces meets land. And then we have like the shore and how the water can like really drastically change the shape of that shoreline, how the water can pull, like anyone, we've all, I think, stood at the shore with our feet in the waves, and we can feel the strength of the undertow pull the sand from underneath our feet. Like it's quite powerful. And if we have big enough waves over long enough time, it changes the shape of earth and rock and what's material. I think of the shore. I think of the inability to discern fact from projection, this Saturn Neptune water Earth thing, I think makes things hard to distinguish, and that's okay. It kind of mixes everything up. And this is a this is one I really that fascinates me, and I want to do a lot more work with this. We're also accustomed in astrology to think of, okay, Saturn is reality. It's the hard facts, the hard truth. It's the practicalities. And Neptune is, this nebulous, etheric, vibe force. It's something in the air, it's something in the water, it's all around you, but you can't touch it. And I would argue something that's been interesting for me lately is to think of Neptune and Neptunian things as symbolizing what's real. Because what's actually real is that everything is one thing. Everything bleeds together. Everything is part of everything else. It's all connected and interwoven and enmeshed and entangled. That, to me, is the reality of life and our situation here. And Saturn is all of the structures we fabricate. Like, Saturn is like what's quote unquote man-made. We're making these divisions. We're making these compartments. We're making these categories so that we can kind of master the chaotic reality of what life actually is. Because without these structures, we can't impose our egoic will on our experience here on Earth. But these things, these systems, they're created. They're not just what exists. So I'm thinking of Saturn as the manufactured. That's actually not real, because we can just create new structures, create new lenses. But what's real is this Neptunian thing. And when we have, these times, these balsamic times or these retrograde times, that's when the chaos comes through. I think that's when we're experiencing reality. And so I've been enjoying flipping that whole discourse on, what is this Saturn is what's real and Neptune is the illusion. I think there's a lot to play with in there. I think the actual nature of life is that everything just leaks onto everything else, and we're the ones who impose these creative groupings of things so that we can differentiate. I think of Saturn and Neptune being on their last legs here, as I brought up the word entropy. I also think of a little bit of malaise, which is what I've been feeling. It's just tired. Oh, that over it type of feeling. Hard to come to grips with things, feeling weighed down by things. And yeah, I think, yeah, those are the main things I'm thinking of as Saturn and Neptune are taking their final 2 years hanging out together in Pisces. Any thoughts before we move on?
I would add maybe to that list, Corey, like intentions versus impact. Like I'm noticing a lot of there's a lot of intention in actions and in these organizational groupings where there's, but the impact doesn't always land. And there's, yeah, I don't know. I think we're in like such a totally different terrain than anything we've been in before. We're not Pluto Aquariusing today, but there's just so much still kind of up for grabs that it's also hard. Like you're saying, Corey, all of these groups are man-made and all of these structures and boundaries that are in place. Like, are they? I think that's kind of what you're asking. Like, are they still in place? And what can be built from what was? And I feel, yeah, we're just in that liminal weird space. And so it'll be interesting, I think, to see how it all comes together on the other side.
I just got the image of like when a bunch of people walk across a bridge and a bridge moves, that our structures actually are moved by us as well.
Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was doing a little thinking and Googling at the same time, using Google as a way to think. And I came across like this quote from the astrologer Steph Coifman. And she has some writing on her website about Saturn Neptune. And I just want to share this quote that I thought is good. We've been talking a lot about personal stuff, so I just wanted to throw in this quote about the collective. And she says, quote, "Saturn's stint through Pisces is, in many ways, the finale to the Neptune in Pisces era that started in 2011. It's seeing that the Wizard of Oz is the man behind the curtain. It's the consequences of this past decade's delusions coming home to roost. And it's the hard aftermath of a slowly dissolving consensus reality. The internet of the personal algorithm has contributed to a more siloed relationship with reality and a crisis of truth. Of knowing what to trust." And I thought that really described a lot of what I'm seeing collectively really well in a Saturn Neptune-y kind of way. And so, since there is silence, I think we'll move on.
I was thinking I've been reading Days of War and Nights of Love, Corey, and I've got quotes from that that I, yeah.
That is, I love that. For those of you who don't know Days of War, Nights of Love, it's kind of like
It's so good.
it's like a beginner's anarchy manual, and it's written. It's different writings, like different essays and different short pieces, and it's kind of presented as a graphic novel. But it's so I found it really inspirational.
Totally.
So
And so, like, on theme, I feel like for all of the stuff going on, I think it's a good time to read it.
yeah, it's a good time to break out the anarchy abolitionist books, the break out the Marx. But moving on, speaking of Marx and the rest of Pisces season, the rest of Pisces season has a lot of Aquarius and Taurus going on. As of this recording, I think maybe a little later in the evening or very early tomorrow, we have Mars and Venus coming together in a conjunction at, I think, around 7 degrees of Aquarius. And that's huge. So they haven't conjoined yet as we're speaking. But as we're speaking, if we think of Mars and Venus as the cosmic lovers, they're about to do it. And right now, it's probably there's some foreplay going on. But they're gonna like consummate like either very late tonight or early tomorrow. And that's a pretty big deal. And it sets the tone for a lot of this Aquarius Taurus activity that's coming up. And just to give a rundown, so we have that Venus Mars conjunction coming up very soon. But as it does so, it's within a few degrees of Jupiter and Taurus. And so that brings in the Taurus influence. And the actual dates, I have them here. Venus conjoins Mars on the 22nd, so I guess it is tomorrow. And then 2 days after that, actually, on the day of the full moon, we have a Venus and Aquarius square Jupiter and Taurus. And then a few days after that, right before that triple conjunction, we have Aquarius Mars square Jupiter and Taurus. Like this is a busy Pisces season. And then heading into March 3rd, we have Venus square Uranus and Taurus. March 9th, we have an Aquarius Mars square Uranus and Taurus, plus all the planets that are moving in this Pisces cluster this season are just making these cute little sextiles to the Taurus planets, one after the other. So Uranus and Jupiter are really able to speak quite loudly through the squares we have in Aquarius and the sextiles we have in Pisces. Whew. It's super active. And right off the bat, do any of you have any thoughts about these Aquarius Taurus squares coming up over the next few weeks?
I have this natally. I have my natal Mars is at 23 Aquarius and my Sun is at 21 Taurus. And so I'm kind of a big fan. I'm biased, but I think that relationship, I think they just it's a square. There's tension, but there's so much creativity and like practical application that can be crafted from the tension that these two signs naturally create. Yeah, I like it. It's disruptive. It's not always, it's not like a graceful thing, right? But it's, I think there's energy to get shit done.
Yeah, I also have the I have Mercury and Jupiter squaring in Aquarius and Taurus myself, so I have this square in my chart as well. It's creating a lot of edge to me with all this
Totally.
floofy Pisces energy or watery Pisces energy. So I see a lot of like ideas wanting to come and to be born, and the real like that also being in conflict with how our feelings are kind of weighing us down. So it's sort of there's this slowdown of this heightened sort of Uranian need to get something out and made in the world, or this new idea, you know, finding its form, or maybe a change of idea, like a complete 180 turn. And then what do you do about it is another energy that I'm getting from this conflict. And I don't think it's an easy, this one feels, it's a feels, the edginess of it feels creative for sure. The need for things to, for ideas to be, there's just this sense that you really have this great idea, but you might not have quite the energy to, or the experience to really get it moving off the ground. So there's a little frustration in there and in my mind.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I feel like I've been thinking about Uranus in Taurus and like legitimately, like for the past, like what, 6, 7 years since 2018. Like It's been hugely disruptive to a lot of things that we've come to count on. Some stabilizing forces, even some like very fixed ideas that, we may have just considered as, oh, well, I guess this is just how things are. And Uranus and Taurus has come around and kind of blasted that. When I think of this whole Aquarius Taurus thing, which is like super ramped up now because, we've been talking about Pluto moving into Aquarius for a long time, and I think we're going to continue. It's going to be a hot topic for at least another year or two when as we see what Pluto and Aquarius is doing. I talked about this because Uranus was like super busy. I think it was sometime in 2022, maybe like the spring of 2022. And it's one of my favorite episodes of this show. And I talked about Taurus and Aquarius through the lens of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, which I just see as like is so symbolic of this Aquarius Taurus conversation going on, where we have the idea of progress and we have this idea of control. I find Aquarius and Taurus to be very controlling energies. And one of the central themes in the book is how to control the masses by doing something to the pleasure systems of the individual body. How do we make the masses easier to control by creating something docile in the individual human being? By actually messing around with the way, individuals are oriented to pleasure. And there's a whole, I mean, listen to the episode because I talk about it in a lot more eloquently. But there's something in this, the idea of progress. One, like, what is progress even? And this like needing as a collective to maybe have to redefine things like pleasure, beauty, and even our concept of who gets what is enough, what does it mean to have abundance? And also this conversation of like kind of organic versus synthetic, and not even like, well, are we going to be all about only things that are organic or just all about, the things that we can create with our minds and through science, through our idealism. But even the attempts to merge the organic and the synthetic, which makes me think of things like, like the man in the machine or the machine in man. Then we get into like some like cyborg stuff, some like sci-fi. I'm maybe using this term wrong because I don't know a lot about it, but possibly transhumanism. I don't know if either of you are up on transhumanism. And ideas also like this is like even a few years back, like with crypto and Bitcoin, it's like these new technologies that basically exist at such a cost to the natural world. Like the what I've heard, like the like what the like the amount of energy that it takes to like create like one bit of Bitcoin is enough to like wipe out like forests. Like it's and those but those types of conversations, is are we mastering technology or is technology mastering us? And because it's Aquarius, where we're always bringing in a more collective argument, which I find really interesting. So I wouldn't be surprised if over the next month, a lot of these arguments come to a head. And squares aren't all bad and just about this versus that. It's a super creative and dynamic energy. We might find a lot of solutions. We might come across a lot of things we think are solutions, and find out that, oh, this is actually something that's quite insidious or just bad. Anyway, I'll stop there. Any thoughts about all this Aquarius Taurus stuff in the mix?
I've been hearing like the word blueprint for Aquarius bandied about quite a bit. It's like creating this sort of map that's going to take a long time to understand how it's going to manifest itself. And not having the, like, basically needing the patience to understand what the good idea is. And from an Aquarius point of view, having a good navigation, or a good blueprint for what you're building in Taurus. Like, I just feel like the all of this stuff going on in Pisces is probably going to be a little more forward for us this season, even as, these squares happen. But they're going to be their backgrounding kind of. And maybe I'm wrong about that. And maybe they will punch through because, there is that edge. But it does feel like a lot of tinkering, like, or like studying what actually can be built, and not really having there is no manifestation yet. There's just like, what is the constellation of this feeling about it?
Mandy, anything from, because I know you got, so not only do you have Neptune like sitting on your moon, you have Uranus sitting on your sun. That's a lot of like,
My Jupiter is also at 14 Taurus, so there's a lot. It's when I find myself spinning out in all of these weird, crazy sci-fi what ifs, I have to like, okay, so what the fuck can I do about it? I can like plant a garden. I can grow food. I don't know if the soil outside is good for growing food, but like, what about like a hydroponic garden inside of my house, right? Like, this is where my brain kind of, and that's not to detract from the whole sci-fi cyborg transhumanism who's working for who conversation, because that's a legitimate concern and something that we should all be paying attention to, right? But it also makes me think of like acts of like love as an action word and planting things. And there's also this like weird hippie element, and I don't know if that's the right word, but this like make love, not war, right? Like grow a garden, fuck industrial agriculture, right? Like it's I don't want to be naive, right? But I also think that there's a lot of room for creative outcomes. And I think the sci-fi conversation has been such a threat, and like such this in the back of our heads is this like existential threat that we will face in our lifetime. It's been such a big part of the conversation that, again, I don't think that it means nothing, but I'm curious to see like what we worry about generally isn't what happens, right? So then like what happens with that, and then what comes from, I don't know, there's a lot of possibilities for I also keep thinking about that like Google thing or Apple thing that just came out, that like augmented reality thing. I've been thinking a lot about that with this. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways I think this could go. And I think we're in another unique time where just like being compassionate and thinking about like our basic human needs is like an act of rebellion. Like, okay, how are we all going to be housed if the earth is on fire and there's massive floods and there's no food, there's nowhere to grow food? Like, I think there's just, I don't know. I just said a lot of different things, but hopefully something was coherent.
No, I hear you, Mandy. But there, so if we have Uranus and Jupiter in Taurus, and like that's influencing, that's getting us to really consider like what is sustainable? Is everyone, does everyone have the basics? What do we consider the basics?
Yes.
How are we organizing all of this? And this is on the collective, and this could also be going on very personally, like just completely rethinking your what your resources are and what has sustainability in your life. And with Uranus in Taurus, I think a lot of people are going through changes surrounding their concept of what is enough, what is going to stand the test of time, what's reliable. And Uranus is still in the process of, and Uranus, speaking of all this balsamic dyeing stuff, Uranus heads into Gemini in 2025. So Uranus is kind of on its last legs of doing some things, has a major transit in April that I really want to talk about, that they make their conjunction in April. So there's a little bit of this dying energy too. I think 2025 and 2026 are gonna, those are the years that a lot of new things are gonna burst into the scene. And this last year feels a little bit like a limp.
It's
But
kind of hard to figure out at this time in 2024 with this Jupiter Uranus stuff, what's going to be the brilliant thing. I don't know that we'll know. Like, it might pop up, but we know in retrospect, you know?
yeah. Well,
Yeah.
because like what's happening with Venus and Mars right now, like so Uranus and Jupiter are going to do it in April, and they're kind of in there, they're getting warmed up to consummate this new thing, whatever it is, a new cycle for both of them. And that's something to look for. I'm actually really looking forward to. I think that's going to break through some of this malaise that we're feeling with the Saturn Neptune stuff. But this month, with all those squares, I feel like some of these issues will come through personally and in the collective, as to like what are the blueprints, like as Jillian was talking about, like I feel like I need to create the architecture for a new way of being in my body, a new way of, taking care of my family, a new way of creating things in my life that bring me some kind of joy and pleasure, whether that's, my relationships, my family, the thing I do for a living. That there's going to be a lot of edginess. That's what squares do, right? They create this level of discomfort that makes you act. I have to do something. I have to create something because I'm very conflicted, or I'm very uncomfortable. I have a lot of, different things like pushing on me. How do I make this work? And so that's where that, high creativity, I think, or the need to take some kind of action will come in. But it's going to be also, co-present with this fatigue. I think we're all in whatever way, whether it's the world or your job or a certain situation you're in, I think everyone can say there's at least one part of their lives where they really just feel like just deep fatigue. I personally don't know the person who is like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm sure there are people who are in great places, but I think most people in some way are limping towards, some type of finish line. And speaking of finish line, I don't think I have any more that I want to say about Pisces season without just making it way more complex than it already is. How about y'all? Any final parting thoughts? Anybody?
I think I've said all the things that I could say. I mean, that's not to say I couldn't continue speaking, right? But for what we're doing here today, I think we covered a lot of big stuff.
Yeah. How about you, Jillian?
I'm just curious what the spike will be with this Taurus Aquarius stuff is in my cloud of like feeling and feelings and undoings. I think it's a good time to like journal this stuff. So if we get our hints now, the 25-26 is going to be a nice like it's going to be a nice preview for that those 2 years of change. It's sort of like 2024 is the hold on moment here.
I think this has been particularly challenging for me. Personally, I have a lot of Aries in my chart, and I really don't feel like I can just go out there, get shit done, like go after this thing that I want, go after that thing. Like I'm tired, and just in my body, like I can't even distinguish like one desire from the other. It's murky, and when things are murky, it's hard to feel like I can just get the plan together, go out and like it. That is just not happening. And so I'm having to really like reframe like what 2024 is about for me and try to, it's an opportunity to work on some things that in a different climate, I would just do my thing. I would do my Aries thing, and I cannot like do that right now. And I have to learn. The challenging thing for me is learning to be with the murky and allowing myself to be tired and not trying to like fabricate this energy that I don't have.
It's
And
rebellious. That's brave. Like, that's, yeah, there's so much bravery and just being tired. I think that's great. And also eclipse season. We haven't even, but I keep
well, that's a whole other show. But this bravery and being tired, I think there's a Taurus thing in there. Not that Taurus is always tired, but Taurus takes its own fucking time.
Taurus
Doesn't,
knows when.
yeah, it will not be
Taurus,
rushed.
no. And the thing about Taurus is, yeah, okay, lazy, but like lazy and resting to go out and like plow a whole fucking field in a day and knock it out, right? Like there's also, it matches that on the other side of that rest, which,
Yeah.
yeah, be tired. It's brave.
That's another possible title.
Oh, and it's like
Inspired.
it's
That's
this
great.
rebellion thing, right? Like again, we're like in a season where just being a human is in experiencing human emotions and experiencing the human condition. I'm not meant to be productive 100% of the time. So yeah, be tired. Be
And that
tired and
might actually be some of the sparkiness we get from Aquarius. Maybe, that activity, that square, Taurus Aquarius squares, is laying down and observing, studying, wrapping your mind around something, sketching out some of those blueprints, even if, you just sketch them out, throw them away, sketch things out, throw them away. Just you're starting to like you're trying to get a beat on the whole situation, and that takes some time. You're trying to take in all the different ingredients of the situation, so that you can kind of map out the action. And because Uranus is in the picture, we're still dealing with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of instability. And so it would actually be pretty, it would be pretty foolish to launch yourself from a place of where you're not sure. It's that, it's that, it's that actually an Aries thing that I don't want to do is, shoot first and then think later. It's that's not what this time is. I mean, people are going to, because it's deeply uncomfortable, but just to be aware that, if you launch something right now, chances are in a month or two, you're going to find out that you kind of misperceived a situation, or you didn't have all the facts, or you were acting out of a place of frustration because things are confused, or things don't feel like they're moving. Like, I think we need to learn. This is probably maybe the lesson, is we need to learn that discomfort is not something that needs to be remedied and solved like immediately. It's not like this like wrong state of being. And that there's tons of information in those states, and it's valuable. So if there are no last words, I think we will close there. We covered a lot. I hope that was helpful. There's a lot going on, but there's, yeah, it's weird. There's some bubbling excitement amidst this more, this heavier energy, and that's uncomfortable. But it's not something that needs to be remedied right away. There's a time, there's a season for everything. I think in a couple weeks, definitely by Aries season, we're gonna feel a lot more movement. But I think, yeah, right now it's a time to observe, and it's a time to feel. And I'm feeling gratitude for both of you. Thank you so much for sharing some really complex stuff, and thanks all of you for listening. Hopefully this was helpful in any kind of way. And my books are open if you would like to talk one-on-one. My books are open for April. I'm kind of filling up for March. So you can reach out. All my info will be in the show notes. And then Mandy and Jillian, I don't know if you have anything coming up at the end of this winter or early spring.
I hope to get back to writing more again. Like we mentioned earlier, I've taken a little bit of a break from seeing clients so that I can tend to kind of some of my own things. I'll start writing again soon and then offering consultations again soon. And probably Instagram and website are probably the best ways to keep up with that, to figure that out.
Same here. You can follow me on the Instagram. I am a little bit still in my, black hole sun, Saturn sun transition right now. So nothing super active going on for me at the moment. I'm gonna sleep in a little bit.
Good. And I hope you all have the opportunity to sleep in when you need to. And on that note, this is Corey Nakasue with Jillian Sweeney and Mandy Sheeler signing off. Have a restful, deeply felt Pisces season, and I will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.